This time, if you will open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel and chapter 17. Recall last time we were in 2 Samuel, we saw the end of God's enemies as we looked at verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 17 and the death, the self-destruction of Ahithophel after he saw that his advice was not followed. He went home, saddling his donkey, to his city, put his house in order, and hanged himself and died. We're going to be looking, though, at the passages somewhat after that and even a little bit before that this evening. We'll begin reading in verse 21, picking up the story here after David has heard the news, that Ahithophel has advised against him and that Absalom may strike at any moment. We'll read verse 21, we'll read through the end of chapter 17, verse 29, as we look at God's provision in the wilderness. So, look with me now as we begin reading at 2 Samuel, chapter 17, and verse 21. Hear the word of God. Now it came to pass, after they had departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David, and said to David, "Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you." So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. And he was buried in his father's tomb. Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. This Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, who had gone in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash, from Reba, of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo-Debar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, from Rogalim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils, and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, as we see here your hand of provision for your king and for your people, your deliverance and your provision of supply for them, may we be encouraged that you are the same God. Yesterday, today, and forever, you do not change. You are a God who has continually provided for your people. And you are a God who will provide for us. Help us to look upon your provision, to be encouraged and comforted by it, and to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But recall who David is as we think about this series on the life of David, a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart, absolutely. He wasn't perfect by far. We've already dealt with many of his sins. But even when he sinned, what did he do? He repented. That's why we read in Psalm 51 of his repentance, of his coming to the Lord and his acknowledging that he is the one who has sinned. But even so, God chooses to use David, an imperfect man, and he has anointed him as his covenant king. He's anointed him to rule over the covenant people of God. And as we see here, the kingdom of David, the kingdom over which he was set as king, is under attack. And of course, that means that God's kingdom is under attack. It's not wise to attack God's kingdom, but it often happens. In fact, this is not the first or the last time that God's kingdom would face trouble. If you know the Bible, you know that God's people have always found themselves in very difficult situations. I mean, think about what we have read in the Old Testament. Moses and the Israelites. Where? Wandering in the wilderness of Sinai. The nation of Israel, even as they enter the land, facing all of these enemies. The New Testament, the apostles, the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison, the Apostle John exiled to the Isle of Patmos. The reality is that God's people are never promised a smooth ride in this life. We're never promised that, are we? In fact, we don't read of any saint in the Bible who had it easy. We do read of some people who have it easy in this life. Psalm 73 tells us about those people. The people that have it easy in this life are those who reject God. In fact, the psalmist Asaph, he says in Psalm 73, why is it that the wicked seem to die in peace? Why is it that they seem to gain riches? Why is it that they don't seem to have any problems? And it's not until he enters into the middle of that psalm as he goes into God that he understands their end. Their end was not good. But the reality is that we as God's people, as we see here, are going to face difficulties, are going to face troubles, are going to face trials. And as long as Satan prowls about on this earth as a lion seeking whom he may devour, the nations are going to rage, the peoples are going to plot, the kings of the earth are going to set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, much as Absalom set himself against David here. And we should not be surprised, therefore, that we, God's covenant people, who live under God's covenant King Jesus, face fierce opposition. We're going to face fierce opposition. There are going to be times when we are going to feel, maybe like David felt, that we have been forced to give so much ground to the enemy that we are alone in the wilderness. And there's nothing that we can do. We might be tempted to give up. We might be tempted to lose hope. And maybe that's how David was feeling. We're not told here. But that may be what happens to us. Now remember, David here has had to flee Jerusalem for his life. Why? Because his son Absalom has orchestrated a rebellion and has taken the throne for himself. And through a series of events, David has, by God's providence, as we've already seen, he's been able to set up this advance warning system. Remember the advance warning system? We've got Hushai and Zadok and Abiathar and their sons, and he has this set up. So when Absalom is going to make a move, they're going to relay that information to him. And that has just happened. We read of that in verse 21. The sons of Zadok and Abiathar, after they come up out of the well, they are able to go to David, having barely escaped the soldiers that were sent by Absalom. They're able to go to him and to warn him, arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus Ahithophel has advised against you. And so David, after learning this, as the king, he has a responsibility. He represents the people who are with him, the people who have come with him. And his responsibility then is to take them and to move all of the people out of harm's way. And in order to do that, he had to move all of the people out of the land of Israel. We're told that he did that. He flees not only God's city, but he has to flee from the land itself. But the beautiful thing, as we see what God does here, is that although David was forced to abandon God's city, Jerusalem, although David was forced to abandon the promised land, God never once abandoned him, did he? Never once. And we see this here. And as we think about this and we look at how God provides for his people, provides for his king, even in times of wilderness wandering, I want you to be encouraged and know that God richly provides for his people no matter what situation we find ourselves in. No matter what situation you are going to find yourself in as God's people, he is going to provide because he knows what you need. And we see that here. And we'll see two things as we think about God's provision in the wilderness to David and to the people. That God provides safety in the wilderness and God provides support in the wilderness. Now, how is it that God provides safety in the wilderness? Well, he's provided a path to safety here. He's given David advance warning through Hushai and through Abiathar and through Zadok. And David now can arise with the people in verse 21 and cross over the water. That is the water of the Jordan River. Quickly. Now, God knew ahead of time that his people were going to need this safety. God knew what Absalom planned to do. God knew what he was going to do. Now, Absalom, we're told here, was advised to kill David. If you remember, Ahithophel told him, go tonight, send me with troops, and I will go, and I will kill David, and I will bring all the people back to you. But Hushai comes in and says, no, listen, that may fail. You know how mighty your dad is. You know how the warriors are who are with him. What you need to do is you need to gather so many people that it is an overwhelming force, and we crush him. But David doesn't know what Ahithophel's going to do, what Absalom's going to do. And so he flees, but we read here in verse 25 what Absalom is doing. In fact, back at verse 24, Absalom is crossing over the Jordan. Absalom is coming out after him. He and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom is making plans for war. He is setting up Amasa in place of Joab. Joab is now with David. Joab was the leader of the armies. He's setting Amasa up. And he's camping in the land of Gilead, all of Israel and Absalom in verse 26. And God knows this. God knows that Absalom is coming after him. God knows that Absalom desires to kill David. And God knows that Absalom is staging an army against David. But notice what God does. God uses his king to lead his people to safety. That's what he does here. David wisely makes the decision here to cross over the water quickly. And look in verse 22 with me. This beautiful picture that we've looked at in a past sermon, but I want to highlight it again. So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. This was an all-night trip. But we read, by morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. Not one was left. They all got away. They all were provided this path to safety. And I think of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 18, verse 9, at his arrest. He's being arrested. They're looking for him. And Jesus answers those who are looking for him, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Speaking of his disciples. Let them go their way. And then we read that this was in order that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. God's king doesn't lose people, does he? And that's an encouragement. That's an encouragement to you and I who serve King Jesus. We know that our king will never lose one of us. We will all cross over. We will all be made to enter into that path of safety which God provides. And God here not only provides a path to safety, but he provides this place of safety. We're told in verse 24, after they cross over the Jordan, that David went to Mahanaim. So he went into this city, Mahanaim, and it's a place of importance in Scripture. It's a place that is on the east side of the Jordan. It's on the north bank of the river Jabbok, and this is about to give you an idea of where it would be in relation to where they crossed over the Jordan. It would have been about 30 miles north and a bit east from where they likely crossed over. This is where Ishbosheth was crowned king, so it is not an unknown place. But the name of it actually we find given in Genesis chapter 32. Listen to this. This is Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Jacob sees some angels who come from God, and we read that Jacob says, this is God's camp. God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim is plural for camp, literally double camp. Now think about this. Where would a better place be for David and the people to go but the camp of God? And that's where God delivers him, right into where he needs him to be. And we also may be reminded of Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. So here we have this great picture of God not only providing a path to safety by which everyone crosses over, not one is lost, but a place of safety. And David and all the people are there. Now David and all the people have gone through the river. They've come to Mahanaim. They have obtained this place of safety. But they're still in need. They're still in need. You see, God knows that they are going to need more. Because as we'll see in a moment, they're going to need to prepare for war. They, if you recall earlier, David and the people received some food from Ziba. Remember, Ziba came and he provided them food and a few donkeys. But I'm sure that has been used, and David needed more. And so we see not only does God provide safety in the wilderness, that path to safety, a place to safety, but God also then provides support in the wilderness. He provides support. And notice here how he provides support. We see this beginning in verse 27. He provides support through those who are faithful to his king. There were those who remained faithful to David. And we're going to read of three of these individuals here. We read, now it happened, this is verse 27, now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash from Reba of the people of Ammon, that's the first one to come, we'll talk about him, and Makar, the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogalim. So these three individuals are coming, and we're going to find out that they are going to provide him with all that he and the people need. But who are these individuals? Who is Shobi, the son of Nahash? Well, we're told here that he's of the people of Ammon. Now, Shobi had a brother. You may not recognize this name. We looked at David's relationship with this brother earlier. Remember, after David became king, he actually wanted to go and thank those who had supported him. And the people of Ammon, he wanted to thank Nahash. Well, Nahash had a son named Hanun. And David sent individuals as ambassadors to the people of Ammon. And the people of Ammon received them, and Hanun is told by his advisors, David just wants to spy out the land. David doesn't really care about you. And so here's what Shobi's older brother does. 2 Samuel 10, the first part of that. We're told that Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away. Now this was not pleasing to David. This was not good. In fact, these men had to wait for a while because they were disgraced. But here we have his brother, and his brother is more loyal to his father, whom David wanted to repay, than his ruthless brother. And here we have Shobi, the son of Nahash, of the people of Ammon, coming and providing support to David in the wilderness. That's the first individual. The second is Machir, the son of Amiel from Lo-Debar. Now, he has a history of helping the people of God, especially royalty. In 2 Samuel 9:4, we learned that he actually was one who helped Mephibosheth. Remember Mephibosheth, who was the lame son of Saul or of Jonathan, and he was of the house of Saul. And so what did Machir do? We read in 2 Samuel 9:4 that Ziba tells David that Mephibosheth is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel of Lo-Debar. So he had already helped one member of a royal family before David took Mephibosheth in. And so he has a history of helping those in need. And he does that here with David. And the third individual that we meet, after Shobi and after Machir, is Barzillai, the Gileadite. We learn in other places that Barzillai was very old. In fact, David asks him to go with him, and he says, I'm too old for that, but take one of my descendants. But he's the head of an important family. He's in Gilead, and he remained loyal to David. In fact, later, we will see in 2 Samuel chapter 19, after the war with Absalom, after David defeats his son and comes back into the kingdom, that Barzillai is the one who's going to escort David back into the land. He was a faithful supporter. And look at the example here that we have of these three individuals and their loyalty to God's king. They're not even guaranteed what's going to happen. In fact, it may look like Absalom has the upper hand. They may be putting themselves in harm's way by siding with David, and yet they are loyal. They understood that Israel had a covenant king. They understood that despite Absalom's treachery, the king who was meant to be on the throne was David, because God had anointed him, not Absalom. And so they come and they support the rightful ruler. They support the rightful ruler. And I think that this is something that we need to think about, because here is an example of loyalty to God's king. And we know what? David died, but another came, the Lord Jesus Christ, our king, And we're called to be loyal to him. And make no mistake about it, his rule is under assault. It will never be overthrown. But the church in every age is under assault by the enemy. And we are going to be challenged over and over with regard to our loyalty. Where are we going to place our faith? And the call is clear. We are to remain loyal no matter the cost in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he always remains loyal and faithful to his word, doesn't he? He does what he says he's going to do. And even when we aren't faithful, which often we aren't, we have to seek and repent of that sin, he remains faithful to us. But here we see these men who provide what the king needs, what the people need, and what is it they provide? They provided what was necessary in the wilderness and also what was necessary to strengthen David and the people for the fight that was coming. Lord willing, when we pick up 2 Samuel in our next sermon, we'll be looking at that war that is waged against Absalom and all of his troops. And God knew that the fight was coming. God knew that David and his people needed two things. They needed to rest and they needed to be replenished. And that's what we see here, don't we? What do they bring? Verse 28. These three individuals come. Shobai, who actually is a pagan. Machir, who was a former Saul loyalist. And Barzillai. They come and they provide beds and basins, earthen vessels. So they really provide beds for their rest. They provide cookware, basins, earthen vessels. And then they provide food, wheat, barley, and flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, and parched seeds. And they also not only provide for the people, but they provide sheep and cheese of the herd. They provide all of these things that are necessary. And why do they do that? We read here they do that because they said, at the end of verse 29, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Now David here receives this. David receives all of this from their hand. And I'm sure the people were hungry and weary and thirsty. But if you're familiar with one of David's psalms, it's not hard to think perhaps David had this in his mind when he was penning it, or later on when he would read it, and that is Psalm 23. Turn with me there to Psalm 23. Here David is fleeing from his enemies. He's running low on provisions. He's weary. He's hungry. He's tired. And so are the people that are with him. And yet these three individuals are brought by God's providential hand to provide for him. And then here in Psalm 23, these familiar words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for him, his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now think about this. David says here, I shall not want, because I know God will provide. He says here, in verse 5 particularly, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, certainly David was in the presence of enemies. Absalom had crossed the Jordan, and yet God, through these individuals, provides a table, a spread for him, providing him rest, providing replenishment, providing for all of his needs. We read earlier of God's provision for the one of whom David was simply a type or a shadow, the Lord Jesus Christ. As he enters into the wilderness, as he certainly is surrounded by enemies, as he is being assaulted by the devil himself. And where does Christ himself get his provision? The word of God. And then God sends angels later to minister to him. Then we also see Jesus at the end of his life. That was really the beginning of his ministry. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then after that, he goes out in power preaching. But at the end of his ministry, he also is in Jerusalem, but he is taken out of the city, cast out. But the beautiful thing is that although Jesus was cast out of God's city, he was never cast out of God's care. Even on the cross, God in him is sustaining him through not only the assault in the wilderness, but the full assault of sin and wickedness. The wrath of God poured out upon the cross. And yet in it, God provided. So David here, we see as God's rightful king, anointed to rule over God's people, is no longer in the kingdom. He's been cast out. Not by God, but he's been exiled by his own son. And to make matters worse, his own son is now pursuing him. He has crossed the Jordan. He is coming against him. And David may have been tempted to despair. He may have been tempted, like all of us, to think, all I see around me is wilderness. I see nothing good. But enter God in his provision. That's what I want you to understand and think about. Here, God, who knew that his people were in need of safety, causes them to pass over the Jordan so as to ensure that not one was lost. God, who knows that his people were in need not only of a path to safety, but also in need of that place of safety, provided Mahanaim for them. But he also didn't leave them hungry and weary and thirsty, did he? No, he didn't. He sent these three individuals. He sent Shobai and Machir and Barzillai. He sent them with beds and cookware and food. And in doing so, God shows us that he richly provides for his people no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. We could be in the wilderness. We could be in the middle of attack, and God will provide. And we need to understand that this is our comfort, because God's kingdom is always perpetually under attack in this world, isn't it? There are opponents that seek the downfall of the church. God's kingdom was under attack here, under the rule of King David, and it is still under attack under the rule of King Jesus. But God is the same, isn't he? Yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who provided for David and the people in the wilderness provides for his people in all ages. And so he will provide no less for us, or in Christ Jesus. In fact, he's provided us everything in the Lord Jesus. So I want to encourage you, because you're going to be going through difficult times, no doubt. And in your walk, as you draw nearer to God, maybe the attack of the enemy is going to become more fierce. Maybe things in your family are going to start to develop that are going to cause you to think, what's going on? Where are you, God? But I want you to take comfort, because he will provide. It may look like we are surrounded by enemies in a wilderness, but I want you to remember this, that as we learned, as David learned, and as he penned in Psalm 23, God prepares a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you that you are the great provider, that you give us all that is necessary, that you have provided us, both body and soul, in life and in death, that great comfort that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us as we go from this place, and as we face the trials and the difficulties in this life, to do so knowing that no matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstances, that you will provide for us. You already know what we are going to face, you know what we need, and in your timing you will bring it about. Give us an increased level of trust and faith in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.